Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. This is the word of God. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
All right. Thanks, Kimberly, and thanks, Daniel. When I was in first grade, I was fortunate enough to know what I wanted to do with my life. I wasn't exactly sure how it would look, but I knew whatever it was, it would have karate at the center of it. So when I was in first grade, Karate Kid came out, and I loved it. I mean, it was like one of my, it's even still to this day, one of my it's on my short list of favorite movies. But in case you haven't seen it, it's kind of had a resurgence with Cobra Kai coming out on Netflix, and some people maybe went back to watch the original. But anyway, in case you don't know the movie or aren't familiar with the plot, here's kind of like the idea of what's happening. So Daniel's this kid moves from the East Coast to the West Coast, or maybe the other way around, I don't know. But anyway, he moves to a new city, new school. And so he goes to the school, and he's kind of getting bullied by this group of kids. And these high school kids, these guys, they're on a karate team. And so he's not just getting kind of bullied by them. He's getting kind of beat up, right? And so one night he's getting beat up, and then this guy, Mr. Miyagi, who's kind of like his landlord, he comes in, and he saves the day. He takes out like five or six of them. And so after all that happens, Daniel goes up to him and says, "Hey, can you teach me karate?" And Mr. Miyagi's like, "Sure. Come to my place and we'll start to work on this." And so if you know the movie, he shows up and Daniel's ready to start karate. But instead of doing karate and training and all that, Mr. Miyagi has him washing his cars. Or I should say waxing his cars. And then after he does the cars, he has to sand the floors. After he sands the floors, he has to paint the fence. And so after, this happens for several days, Daniel's frustrated because he came to learn karate. And he's not learning karate. He has Mr. Miyagi's just sending him around to do these stupid chores. And so Daniel just explodes on him one day because he's so mad. And then Mr. Miyagi says, "Well, show me wax on, wax off." And so Daniel does it. And then Mr. Miyagi shows him, like, that's how you block a punch. And he does the same thing with paint the fence and sand the floor. And so this whole time that Daniel was just doing what he saw as just chores, he was actually learning karate. When he was doing the wax on, wax off, he was learning how to block a punch. So Daniel thought he was wasting his time, but Mr. Miyagi was training him. So while Daniel was going through something that he thought was pointless, it very much had a point to it. He was learning the basics of karate. And I think the Lord works in our lives in some similar ways. Daniel didn't realize that these stupid chores that he was doing was actually going to make him better at karate. And I don't think we often realize that godliness doesn't just come by us like working towards it, like with Bible reading and prayer and church attendance, as good and great as those things are. I think sometimes the way that God makes us godly he does that in ways that we wouldn't think make us more godly. So far in Peter's letter, he's been heavy on the gospel, right? He's been talking about what Jesus has done for us and who we are in Christ. We're born again. We're chosen. We're sojourners. We're exiles. And then he gave some general commands, right? After that, he said, so be holy as God's holy. Then he said, we're saved to proclaim the excellencies of Christ, kind of these general categories. But now that Peter has established them in the gospel, he's going to get specific about what they are supposed to do and what that means, what we're supposed to do. So what does Peter want them to do? What does Peter want us to do? Is it to read our Bible, to pray, to go to church? Again, all those things are good things. They're actually great things. But after Peter establishes them in the gospel, he wants them to know that what they need to do is to submit to authority. And that really isn't what you would expect him to say, right? Like if someone were to say, hey, I want you to write, my friend just became a Christian, and would you write them a letter just kind of on the basics of Christianity, kind of like, you know, what the gospel is and what they should do? I mean, would submit to authority, would that even be on the short list of things you want to make sure you communicate? Well, it probably should be, because Peter did, the Apostle Paul did, and so it should be on our short list of important things to do as Christians. An important part of you following Jesus is that you would have a submissive disposition towards whatever authority that God has placed in your life. And one of the ways to we learn to be humble and follow Jesus is by being humble and submitting to the authority that God has placed over us. So do you want to know how you are doing with your walk with Jesus? Well, then let me ask you this. How are you doing with the authority that God has placed in your life? In the same way that Mr. Miyagi gave Daniel these chores, he gives us authority to submit to. And us learning how to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives teaches us and trains us to submit ourselves to God. So today, as we consider authority, I see seven checkpoints as we went through the passage that we just read today. Now, in most of my sermons, I have two or three points. Today, I have seven. So we're going to be here twice as long. No, I'm playing. I'm going to make it. Why did y'all laugh? Y'all should have been like, maybe it does go twice as long. No, it's going to be the normal amount of time. They're going to be a little bit quicker. Some are longer than others, but we should be done at the usual time. So anyway, I have 7 points. I'm going to move fast. The first one might be the longest, so don't let that intimidate you. All right, so the first one, we should submit to the government. All right, look at verse 13 to 14. Does everybody open up to 1 Peter chapter 2? Verse 13 and 14 says this, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." All right, the big idea of this whole section in this sermon is the first part of verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. So as Christians, one thing that we need to be mindful of is the authority that God has placed over us and who our authority is, and we need to be subject or submissive to whatever authority that the Lord has placed over us. Now, one thing that can make it difficult is what if the people that are in authority over you are difficult people who are maybe bad at their jobs or not doing good? And I think this is in Peter's mind because of what he said in verse 13. He said to honor the emperor. Do y'all know who the emperor was at this time? It was the emperor who really, in a lot of ways, is responsible for the death of Peter. So Peter's saying, honor this guy who's going to basically set it up to where I die. The emperor on this day was Nero. Nero was the worst. He killed a lot of Christians just for being Christians. Eventually, Peter would be one of those Christians who would die. And Peter said, honor that man. If you were alive in Peter's day, you would be really nervous about Nero, if you were a Christian. Your life would literally be in danger because of Nero. So if Peter could embrace the idea of submitting to Nero and honoring Nero, then maybe we can do the same with our government. And what does that look like for us? I think a general thing you could say is basically just obeying the law, being good citizens, and our hearts aren't really all that inclined towards this. If you want to know like the state of your heart towards authority, try driving the speed limit sometime, right? That's obnoxious,
Right? It's so hard to do. And you'll find, if you're like me, your heart will rage as you think about this ridiculous speed limit that's been set. That's like 20 miles too slow, right? And so it's just not in us to hear from outside sources, go this fast and no faster. We bump up against that and other things like it. And if you skip down to verse 17, when Peter talks about not just submitting, but honoring the emperor, that's the highest office. So for us in our day, the highest office in our land, in the United States, would be for us to honor the president. So right now, I'm not about to get controversial, but Joe Biden and Donald Trump have been our last two presidents. And I'm not aware of any big fan clubs at Redeemer Church. And I don't think any of us would find it difficult to speak poorly of perhaps either one of them. You know, it's kind of low-hanging fruit there in some ways. But look, we need to honor these men. Well, forgive me if I didn't put that low-hanging fruit comment. That wasn't in my notes. But we need to honor these men. And it's not because they've earned it with their wisdom and skill and good character. It's because God's called us to honor those people. And I don't think it means we can't be honest with their shortcomings or explain why we're not going to vote for one or the other. But those things can be done in a way that honors them still. And at minimum, we shouldn't be posting these memes, even if they're hilarious, about how awful or stupid or ridiculous these people are. So if you're prone, and I'm not really on social media, so if somebody's doing it, I'm not calling you out, but stop. Don't do that. So as we consider who the next president might or might not be, let's just remember that God's asked us to honor these people, whether we like them or not, agree with them or not, whether we despise them, whatever it is, we still need to honor them. So let's be careful about what we say about them. All right, my second point, silencing opponents. Look at verse 15. It says this, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people." So Peter is repeating something he said that's real similar in verse 12. If you look back there at verse 12, he says this, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So Peter said, when they speak evil against you. So the assumption is, if you are genuinely trying to live a godly life, people will speak poorly about you. It's a given. Peter assumed it. And Peter is telling them to counteract the speaking that is going against them with good deeds. And here in verse 15, he's saying that we should silence our critics and the people who are acting ignorantly or foolishly by doing good. And this is all in the context of submitting to authority. So that means you should be a good citizen, a good employee, that no one has anything bad to say about you. And when people do speak evil of you, they should feel like they're the ones being jerks or unfair. Consider what Proverbs 16:7 says. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." So if you are treating others well, working hard, not complaining, being kind, then you will silence those who are prone to speak against you and even make your enemies to be at peace with you. So live a life that is blameless. Obey God's word in the context of work and especially in the context of being under authority. Follow your conscience. And you might get enemies as a result of that. You might be seen as a goody good or super religious or whatever. So you might get enemies as a result of it, but your good works will eventually silence them and put them at peace with you. All right, my third point, live free. Look at verse 16. "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God." So there's a sense that as a Christian, you serve Jesus as King and him alone. You bow the knee to no man and you serve Jesus alone. No one else has a claim on you other than Jesus. You are free from any other person ruling over you. But don't use that freedom as a license to be a bad worker or to not take on a submissive spirit towards authority. Paul said in Colossians 3:23, he says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." So you should not see your supervisor as Jesus. You should work for him as if he's Jesus. It's the idea of working heartily for the Lord, not for men. So whatever place, if you're whatever kind of work you're doing, do it as if Jesus was your supervisor. The fourth point, honor everyone. Look at verse 17. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So if you are in Christ, you should give out honor liberally. If you have a positive thought about someone, then share it with them. I mean, I think all of us have this low-grade sense of discouragement. We're all really aware of our shortcomings, and there can be a tendency, like we all will have positive thoughts towards it. We also have negative thoughts and all those. But there's a sense where if you have a positive thought about someone, go ahead and share it with them. We're all borderline desperate for just a bit of encouragement. No one has too much encouragement. Most of us are living with a sense of low-grade discouragement. And I think we should be good about doing this. And I think at Redeemer, I think we actually are pretty good about this. In Romans 12, Paul says that we should try to outdo one another in showing honor. And wouldn't that be a sweet thing to be a part of a community like that? That's why I think it's so good and important to not just be, when you're a part of a church, not to just be a part of Sunday morning, but to be a part of the life of the church. So you can be a part of giving out that honor and receiving the honor. And there should be a sweet warmth of encouragement in the church that embraces this. And I pray that God would help that to be true of us. I know in a lot of ways it is, and I'm sure we have a long way to go. It also says that we should love the brotherhood. So we should take particular care of other believers, especially those in our own church. And we should see each other as family. You know, in the last, I don't know how many years, the idea of like family has kind of become a trendy thing. You know, a lot of football teams or sports teams have like family on the shirts, and that's kind of their motto and cool, fine. But that's not trendy for the church. It's like the last 2,000 years. So we were doing that way before it was cool. And it's right for us to do it because when you are in Christ, look, here's the thing. Not everyone's a child of God. Does everybody get that? Not everyone is a child of God. The only people who are children of God are those who are in Christ and therefore adopted into the family of God. And so we are brothers and sisters with those in Christ, and especially your local church. Those are your brothers and sisters. That's why in the New Testament, they're often referring to other Christians as brother and sisters. And look, and all of this needs to be done with a reverence towards God, or as Peter says, we should fear God. So we should fear God over any other institution or person. And our submissiveness to whatever authority God has placed over us should be out of the fear of God and not out of man. Faithfulness to God is our highest calling. So being faithful at work should be out of faithfulness to him, out of a fear of God. And then it says there also that we should honor the emperor. We already talked about that. But again, we should be countercultural. So the next like 9 months, however long till the election, everybody's going to be bashing the two that are up for election. And we should just be countercultural and not bashing them all the time. All right, number 5, submit to your supervisor. All right, verse 16, look at verse 16. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. So some of us are going to have good supervisors, good bosses, and some of us are going to have awful ones. They're going to be really, really bad. And probably all of us are going to have a little bit of both. I bet most of us are going to have some bad ones. I mean, if you don't have a bad one, like you're probably on deck. It's going to happen. Or maybe you're the bad one. I don't know. So anyway, it's going to happen. But even still, we should be submissive and respectful no matter who our boss is or supervisor. And it doesn't matter if that person over you is a jerk or not fair. And if they don't treat you well or with respect, you should submit to them and show them all respect, including how you talk about them when they aren't around. So if you have a bad boss, a bad supervisor, a mean one, a jerk, or whatever, doesn't matter how they treat you, you should treat them with all respect. All right, number 6, submit to sorrows. All right, look at verse 19 to 20. It says this, "For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." Do you know what you can do that would be a pleasing thing in God's sight? It pleases God not to see you suffer, but to suffer well under bad leadership. Oh, it's a sweet thing in God's sight. When you're mistreated at work or at home, and you endure it well, oh, it's a pleasing thing to God. Or to use Peter's words, it's a gracious thing in God's sight. Being under bad leadership isn't the worst thing in the world. You really have a unique opportunity to do on earth what you can't do in heaven. And that will be to endure bad leadership well. And it's okay for you to do everything right and not get any credit for it. That's okay. And maybe even endure more mistreatment and disrespect just for doing things right. That's okay. It's okay for you not to be appreciated well for the work that you've done. Look, you're working for the Lord anyway. It doesn't matter what that person above you says. The Lord sees your work. Work for him, not for whoever your boss is. And he's telling you through Peter that he's pleased with you doing good and enduring being unappreciated and mistreated. It's a gracious thing in God's sight. So if you find yourself in a situation where your authority is not good, you're in a unique situation to please the Lord, to do a thing that is gracious in the sight of God. So submit to the sorrows of being mistreated. All right, 7, submit like Jesus. All right, look at verse 21 to 25. It says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus did everything right. He committed no sin. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not make threats. Do you know what he did though? We see in verse 23. He continued entrusting himself to God. That's what he did, and that's what when we're under bad leadership, what do? You work hard, you honor them, and you just continue to entrust yourself to God. And what did that get Jesus when he did that? Got him a slow death on a cross. But what did that get us? Eternal life. So our God uses suffering and bad authority. Our God used a wicked government to kill his own son. And by so doing, he saved the world. So don't you think he can use the bad authority in your life for good? Right? Daniel LaRusso did not realize that Mr. Miyagi was training him by doing all those stupid chores. And you might not realize that God is training you with the authority that you have over you in your life right now. But submitting to authority will help us to learn to submit ourselves to God. So submit to the authority that God has placed in your life. He is the shepherd and overseer of your soul. You have one of those. If you're a Christian, you have a shepherd and an overseer of your soul. He is shepherding you, and he is overseeing everything about you. And for that reason, you should entrust yourself completely and totally to him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, would you help us to obey your word, to be mindful of the authority that you've placed in our life, that we would submit to it, not out of fear of man, but out of fear of God, and that we would trust you no matter what our situation might be. You are the shepherd and overseer of our souls, so it is right and good for us to entrust ourselves to you. And Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.